Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kick off your slippers. Don't go to bed. The party's just starting.
You can sleep when you're dead. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So a couple of weeks ago, I saw this story. It was in the Star, but they nicked it from the Mail, apparently, of this young lady, Kirsten Ashby, who had been brutally attacked, set alight by a neighbour. And it connected with me on a way that a story hasn't done for a long, long time. And we talked about it on the show. And I was lucky enough, I got chatting with her dad, Paul, on Facebook, and I was lucky enough that they invited me round to their house on Saturday, and Kirsten gave her first ever interview. Some of you may find this a little bit too upsetting to listen to. It's a bit triggering. There is a horrible attack in it. And we do talk about the attack, but the majority of this is about family. It's about love. It's about being a parent. It's about survival. It's about the journey that Kirsten and her family are making now. I got to speak to Kirsten. You'll also hear her dad, Paul, and her mum, Lynn, comes in about 5 minutes in and makes a cup of tea. This is one of the most remarkable stories you have ever heard, OK? Kirsten, when you hear the specifics of the attack and why she stood still, you'll realise she is a hero. And I'm not being flippant with that. She is an actual hero. So this is me having a chat with Kirsten Ashby.
It is a beautiful Saturday lunchtime. It's just gone 12. I'm late. Am I in Milton Keynes? I'm very near to Milton Keynes. I'm here to see Kirsten Ashby, and we've talked about Kirsten on the show quite a bit. She was the young lady who... Well, we'll get her story, but she was a young lady that was horrifically burnt by some arsehole neighbour. It's a story that really hit me and connected with me. I'm really moved by it. And I've been emailing her dad, Paul, and they have kindly invited me to come along and have a chat. Now, I'm not quite sure where the house is. I wonder if it's down here. No, I don't think it is down here. I don't think it is. I think I'm going the wrong way. Let's have a look. We're close. Maybe it's down here. Here we go. I think this must be it. We'll soon find out. Paul.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Nice to see
you. Very nice to meet you.
I got a little bit confused.
Did wonder.
I got a little bit confused.
You want to go through and...
Thank you very much. How are you doing? You're all right?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad.
Straight through?
Yeah, just straight through. Yeah.
Beautiful. Hello, Kirsten. Hi. Nice to meet you. How are you doing? You're all right? Am I all right sitting here?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah. You're all right?
Yeah.
You're okay to go and chat and.
Yeah,
Paul, first of all, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
nice. I've been chatting to your dad on email. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to meet you, Kirsten. Your story, I just found it incredible. And if I ask anything that's inappropriate don't want to talk about, you tell me to jog on and whatever. First of all, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Very slowly, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask what happened? Is it too upsetting to talk about what happened, or...?
No. Where shall I start? Right from the beginning?
Yeah,
from the beginning of the night?
Yeah.
His girlfriend, Lauren, kept on messaging me throughout the week.
Is this your next-door neighbour, or nearby?
Nearby.
Right, yeah.
He was in the other block of flats. Kept on messaging, asking me... Oh, let's meet up, let's do this, let's do that. We'd only spoken once.
Right.
So then I thought, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go. And then she said, oh, come up, let's have a couple of glasses of wine. So I went up there and everything was fine. Them two kept on, like, sort of like bantering with each other. Like she was saying, oh... He cheated on me. He went off with one of my friends before. He did this, he did that. But they...
You should move my bag out of your way.
You're okay.
You're right.
Do you want tea or coffee?
A cup of tea would be lovely.
Sugar?
Please. White, no sugar, please.
And yeah, he kept on... They seemed fine. And then the night carried on. And then I sort of like skip. And Lauren's laying on the sofa having a fit. And I've never dealt with that before. So I was shouting, like, I couldn't find him. I didn't know where he was. Mm. So I shouted, like, can you help me? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to call an ambulance, which then he got quite angry and was saying, I'll lose my kids if you do that.
Yeah.
And I was saying, look at her. And he was like, just roll her on her side. She'll throw up and then she'll be fine. So I kind of listened to him. I put her on her side. She'd thrown up, fell off the sofa. So I was trying to pick her back up. I mean, they had 5 kids in the flat.
Wow.
And then, so I was saying, like, come on, you can't lay here. We've got to get you up and get you cleaned up. What about if one of your kids came in? So, yeah, then I skip again to she's standing at the door of the living room. She was completely fine at the door, and her 2 kids are standing there, 2 of them. And James was in my face, and he was saying, you don't think I'll do it? And I must have been talking, and I think I can remember folding something up.
Right.
I don't know what this was.
Yeah.
And then Lauren turned around and said, no, I don't think you'll do it. Kirsten, what do you think? And I went, what? No, I don't. And went to carry on.
Yeah.
But with that, then he threw the petrol over me. And within a second, the lighter followed. But I knew I couldn't run out the door to go and get any water because the 2 kids were standing there.
Mate.
So if I'd have done that, and then them kids... caught on fire or anything like that, then that would have been on my conscience. I would have felt awful. But I couldn't run to the other side of the room because James had set out a load of alcohol bottles and spilled alcohol over the floor. So if I would have gone down there, the whole flat could have gone up. So I didn't.
So what did you do? You stood there
it? Yeah, I was just running. As far as I remember, I was just running my hands through my hair, trying to get it out. And then, yeah, I just remember falling down onto my knees. And then the next time I opened my eyes, I see the other neighbour, Dane, and he was standing there, from what I remember, just 2 big yellow blobs. But it was the police. It was
right.
It must have been their jackets.
Yeah.
And then I closed my eyes again, and then I woke up in Chelsea, Westminster.
Wow.
Mm.
You tell it so calmly. This, I'm sure you've told it a few times already. I'm sure you must be. You tell it so calmly. It must have been the most horrendous
Yeah.
Dang, words can't even describe how horrendous that must have been for you.
No, I know, it was awful, but I kind of shut off, in a sense. I'm quite numb to it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I've still got quite a lot of emotion to go through.
Well, there's probably a fair bit of work
yeah.
you've got to do.
Yeah.
And you don't know why he did it.
No. We did find out that the week before, he was down in Pink Punters, and he was saying, to his girlfriend, I'm going to go set your mum's house on fire and I'm going to watch them all burn and things like that. So he must have been fantasising about doing it
yeah.
for a while, but the person he done it on was me. So, yeah.
Are you Lynn?
Yeah.
Hello, Lynn. We had a little Facebook exchange as well. I've been talking to all your family on Facebook and emails and stuff. Can I ask you how it feels hearing that story from Kurt? It must be, I'm a dad. My boys are much younger, but that must be heartbreaking. Can I come over here? Let's go on.
I still get really emotional about it.
Yeah, I bet. You don't have to talk if you don't want it. Don't worry, Paul. What? I mean, it's your little girl.
I know.
It's the callousness of the act. And we'll talk about, you know, the recovery and stuff. I don't want to focus on this guy too much. But it's just I just cannot get my head around any of it.
I can't understand how anybody... How anyone would do that to another person, you know? It's just... It's not even like, you know, when you... You hear about these one punch things or stabbings and things like that, and that's like a violent sort of thing. But fire is something else, isn't it? It's like acid fire. That's just a whole other thing, isn't it? I just don't get I don't understand what's going through people's brain when they do that.
And final thing about this arsehole, because that's what he is. It's not a beat around the bush, you know. In court as well.
Yes.
I read in the papers that there was no remorse. There was gloating, almost.
Basically, I must say, I was with Kirsten during the court.
Right.
Like, Lynn was in the court and, you know, him and his girlfriend were blowing kisses to each other and I love you and, you know, I'll see you soon and all the, you know. Where's the respect? Yeah. You're in a court of law, do you know what I mean? You don't do that sort of thing.
Something. Yeah, when the judge was talking and things and the barristers, he was rolling his eyes and sort of like, oh, not this again, and like putting his head down going, oh. He was getting cross that they were going through it.
It was an inconvenience for
yes,
him.
Yes, exactly.
How long did he get?
19 years with a 5-year license. So whatever he does, even if he gets a bit off for good behaviour, he's still got to do 5 years on licence and the slightest little thing in his back.
It's not long, is it?
It's longer than a lot of murderers get, to be quite honest with you. You know, when you look at it, it's actually a bit better than we hoped for. Obviously, we wanted him to be put away for life, you know. Yeah. Even a life tariff, isn't it? It could be 15 years.
Yeah.
And he got more than that. So, you know, I think we got a good result.
The judge was really, really good. He was really fair. When they tried to use things in defence, like he hadn't seen his children since it had happened, the judge corrected him. And when he said that he'd... Oh, sorry, I can't think.
That's all right.
It wasn't a planned attack. He tried to say it wasn't a planned attack, although our barrister was fantastic, and he said it was.
Yeah.
And he tried to say it wasn't a planned attack. And the judge said, excuse me if I'm wrong, you can check whatever details. He said, but a planned attack means you thought about it, you carried it out and you finished the job.
Yeah.
There wasn't weeks of planning, but he had a chance to stop.
Yeah.
And therefore it's a planned attack.
There were several stages.
So the judge was really fair. The judge was really good. I've got no argument with that.
Right. Enough about him. So next thing you know, you wake up in hospital. Had you been, in a coma?
Yeah, I got put in a 4-week... what is it called?
Induced
medical coma, yeah.
And they do that to kind of give your body the chance to kind of heal and look after itself a bit, do they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So what was it like when you woke up? It must have been confusing.
I don't really remember too much about waking up.
Yeah.
I just kind of adjusted, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just woke up and I knew that I couldn't move and I couldn't talk, and I just kind of just went with it, just done whatever I had to do.
And when was it? When was this? I'm getting the chronology. Was this in November that you came out of the coma? I've got the dates a bit wrong.
No.
When, December.
Yeah, this happened in November.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then in December, I woke up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're in May now. You've not been out of hospital that long, is that right?
No, only about a week. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
How are you finding life back out in the real world?
It's not too bad. I had a bit of a fright the other night, but other than that,
in what way of fright? What happened?
Because there was a really loud bang.
Right.
So I got quite panicky.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been able to settle that much since, because I didn't know what it was or where it came from. But my bed shook. So I then got hold of my mum.
Yeah.
And was like, "What was that noise? Did you hear that?" She come in, tried to reassure me and stuff, yeah. But like the police came and was like checking around the area and stuff, so it all seemed to be okay.
Earthquakes in Milton Keynes, blimey, that's what could be doing that.
No, there was somebody outside because you heard mumbled voices.
Right. Carrying. Outside the house?
Yeah. At first I thought maybe somebody was coming back on a night out, because we're quiet down here, there's only a few houses. I thought maybe somebody was coming back and they were trying to talk quietly to not disturb people. Mm. And then there was that big bang. And then a few minutes later, the scurrying and the noises out there again. And then nothing, the police come.
Kids messing around?
Don't know.
Not at that time in the morning, no. Because it was what, about 1 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
How are you feeling? How do you feel physically?
Itchy.
Right, itchy. I can see you're a bit scratchy going. I was going to mention it, because I didn't want to draw attention to it to make it worse.
Very itchy. Emotionally and things, I'm numb still.
She's
in pain every day.
Right.
Yeah. I've had a couple of bad days over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
It's all good. Right?
It's all good. Oh, bless you. It's not all good. It sucks.
You're obviously, very, very burnt. You can see your face. I can see your shoulders and your arms. Is it? It's all over your body, is it?
It comes down my arms, my hands, my chest.
Yeah.
Half of my back. Obviously my face.
Yeah.
But that's it for the burns.
Right.
And then I've obviously had my skin grafts done, so they've done my whole legs.
So I don't quite. So skin grafts are where they take a bit of skin off somewhere that's not damaged, and is that then to help heal the bits that are damaged or replace the bits that are damaged?
Yeah, it's to replace the skin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that painful?
She's still healing now.
Right.
Yeah, where they've taken the skin is very painful.
Right.
Yeah.
How many of those have you had, and how many do you think you're going to have in the future?
I couldn't even answer it.
Really, loads.
Yeah, yeah. When I first went in, I was having operations every other day.
Yeah.
While she was in the coma.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
In the coma. And then when I was awake, it was every week that I was in having an operation, sometimes like twice in a week, sometimes it's just the once. But that is quite painful. And like my legs keep on healing and breaking down and then healing and then breaking down, so in and out of bandages.
Yeah.
The way you're talking about this, and I know that part of you, you're saying you've shut it down and I think you're an inspiration, the way you're talking, because you've been very, you're so calm about it, you're so matter of fact about it. There was something about your story, Kirsten, that really connected with me, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's because you've got a Madison, a young kid who's a little bit older than my boys but a similar age. I don't know if it was the fact of that you're someone's kid, as you're Paul and Lynn's kid as well, but there's something that really connected with me and with a lot of my listeners as well. Have you, you've been aware that there's been kind of an outpouring of, I guess, love for you? Have you, have you felt that?
Yeah, I have done. I felt a lot of, like, love and support.
Mm.
At first, I was very worried of what people were going to think of me and things like that. And then I've realised now that actually everyone's behind me and are there to help and push me along my way when I'm having my struggles.
You said a couple of interesting things there. You were worried that what people were going to think about you. What do you mean by that? Because of the way you look or because of the what happened or what?
Yeah, I think it's like a mix of everything. Like a lot of people... I've had quite a couple of people go, oh, you were so beautiful. And I sit there and I'm like, well, I'm not now. You know, that's kind of like one of the worst things you can say to somebody.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, you was so beautiful, like, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just for long.
Do you get? I imagine that, like, get kids staring and stuff because kids stare. My boy saw a bloke with one arm the other day, and they, you know, was they can be kids stare. I suppose, is that how are you finding that?
Kids staring don't really bother me because. It's just the way their little minds work.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Obviously, I look different, so kids are going to be sitting there like, what's happened to her? Why does she look like that? Even adults, when adults like look at me, I don't really tend to notice.
Right, yeah.
Like, my first...
Do you, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Let me come over there. Tell me why. Go on.
Well, it's like, when we go out, you know, I'm sort of like a... I won't say like a shield, but you,
well, you should, as a dad, like a girl, you'd be like protect your kids.
You kind of, you notice what's going on around, especially with the way that Kirsten is.
Yeah.
And she's like so outgoing and, you know, she just gets on with it. And I'm looking at people who are around her.
Of course.
So I notice people who are looking, if they point and don't do anything, you know, I know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, not so much the more we've done it, the more comfortable I've become, which sounds silly considering I'm, you know. It does give you a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you then do notice how people don't look and stare. Do you know what
That's
I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's like a... There is like a... Whenever you see her, you walk into... The first time, the very, very first time that she was allowed out of the ward at Chelsea and Westminster, it was a big thing. She'd been locked in this room for months. And we had this, right, on whatever day it was, we were going to come along. They were going to get Kirsten ready. We're going to take her out of the ward. First time since it had happened. So we go out of the ward. All the nurses were there, weren't they, to see her out because, oh, this is brilliant and... We go out of the ward, and Chelsea and Westminster, it's a big open hospital, it's a really nice place as it goes. We go downstairs, have a little look around. They've got a massive fish tank. We're going to have a look at the fish tank. And all the way through, I'm pushing Kirsten in her chair, and I'm watching everything that's going on around. And she's just sitting there going, well, okay, well, what's out there then? And it's like, well, that's like, is it Fulham Broadway or Fulham Broadway. So, and you've got like one football club at one end and a football club at the other end, and you know, people going backwards and forwards. I want to go out there. Mm. Like, are you sure? Well, that's like the traffic and there's people.
I know the air is noisy.
And it's like, yeah, I want to go out.
Yeah,
fair enough. We'll go out then. So we go out. Let's go over there. So we're literally sat on more or less at the side of the road outside this, well, Costa's or whatever it was.
Starbucks.
And she's sitting there watching the taxis and the buses going by, not even giving it a second thought with the people walking past. A couple of people looked and then just carried on with their day.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm sort of like, you know. And then you realise that, you know, people understand.
Mm.
And they see someone and they, it's obvious it's Burns.
Yeah.
And they don't tend to go, oh, look at her or anything like that. You know, and then
I don't
she walks
think they
into
do these days. Maybe. No. I think you're right. Maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Possibly, yeah.
But I think everyone's so much better educated about life and the things that happen that people don't tend to anymore.
We've walked into restaurants, a few restaurants, because she's trying to catch up for the last 6 months. So it's like, oh no, I've really missed this. I've really missed it. Like Beef Eater or whatever it is. And I've really missed, we've got to do this.
Beef Eater? Yeah. Come on. Beef Eater.
I know.
Beef Eater's my mum.
All right, okay.
But like, you walk into a restaurant.
TJ, here we go.
Yeah, TJ, you walk into a restaurant, and again, as a dad, I'm sort of like, you know, keep an eye out. That one there's not batting an eyelid. She's just walking, boom, straight away through, straight to the table, sit down, get someone to dinner. Doesn't even bat an eyelid.
You told me in the emails, but we've only had a few emails, don't worry. You told me in the emails, one of the things that's kept you going, and one of the things that I guess keeps any family going in a situation like this, is your sense of humour.
Oh, you haven't.
I don't know what I expected, but there's been a lot of laughter in the 20 minutes that I've been here. Who's the biggest piss taker out of the lot of you?
It's between me and her.
Is it?
Yeah, it's between me and Kirsten.
A bit of trouble between you two, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we could get into trouble with a lot of the stuff we say to each other.
But I guess you need to, don't you, to keep sane.
We were sat in, again, we were sat in the Beef Eater. There's a, I won't mention him because he'd probably get, but there's a guy, because like Lynn likes the Beef Eater, so we do tend to go there a bit.
Come on, Lynn.
I know. And there's a guy who works in there. We've known him for years, you know, so he's always chatting and stuff. And he'd come over to our table. First time in there, we're in there with Kirsten. Madison sat there and she's got like these cat ears you know. And it was just a comment that he made. And again,
he said, when did you grow them ears?
Yeah.
And Kirsten said, yeah, she's got extra ears and I've got none.
None.
And that's the first time I've seen him with nothing to say.
And then he turned around and said, what was it about the one with ears, wasn't it? And I said, oh, yeah, and then there's, you know, there's Miss With Ears and Miss No Ears or I can't, whatever it was, it was.
It's what we do, isn't it? It's what we do as families. And it's what I don't know if it's a British thing. You do when things, you know, are lousy, you make a joke. You've got to make a joke about it. Yeah. We mentioned Madison. She's 10, isn't she?
Nine.
When is she 10?
October.
October. How's she been with all of this? Kids are resilient.
Yeah.
But, you know, the protective of mummy, you know. I don't know that. How is she doing?
She's been absolutely amazing. She's been a right little star. The first time, I didn't see her for 11 weeks.
Mm, God, that must have been tough.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. Yeah. And then when the first time she did walk in to my room, because the hospital let her come in on, like, a special visit.
Yeah.
She could choose one person to come in with her, and she chose my dad.
Right.
So he came in, and she kind of stood next to my bed. I got really emotional.
Bet you did.
And then I was like, come on, Kirsten, pull yourself together. And then we were just sitting there talking, and then she kicked my dad out of the room.
I got kicked out.
Yeah, she said, oh, Granddad, you can go now. I want some time with Mummy.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, and then she stood there, and she was "Mummy, this has happened in school, and oh, my friend this and my," and she was
just
amazing.
Back into giving you the gossip and all the news.
Yeah, yeah. And then obviously my skin, she kept on like looking at my hands and my arms, and my skin. When you feel it, it kind of feels like a lizard with like all the little bumpy bits. So I said to her, "Do you want to stroke my arm? It feels like a lizard." And at first she was very like, "No, no, no." She was afraid of hurting me.
Yeah, oh, bless.
And then it took her a couple of like visits.
Yeah.
But, you know, she never once walked in and like shied away from me or anything like that. She's, you know, since I've been home, like, as soon as I call her, like, whenever I used to call her, she used to just ignore me and be like, "No, I'm carrying on playing." But, or it'd be, "Yeah, I'll be down in a minute." But as soon as I call her now, she comes straight away and she does anything.
That won't last.
No,
that
won't last. No, no.
Seven kids in the
same
range.
Yeah.
She fed you in hospital, didn't she?
Yeah, she
couldn't feed yourself.
Oh, bless her.
Give you a drink.
Yeah, she, when I take my tablets, she'll hold my drink and then she'll, like, give me my drink and stuff to be able to take my tablets, and she likes to be involved.
Isn't that funny? My mum's in a care home. She's got MS. Really, she can't feed herself, and my boys love feeding Nanny Linda. They also like riding in her electric wheelchair and using her bed that goes up and down and jumping off of that. But isn't that funny? And kids know that it's the person that's inside that is the... that is the thing, the physical, you know, whether it's looks or it's, you know, being able to move yourself like my mum. The kid's pretty savvy that it's what's inside that's the person.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
That day, you could see Madison, you could always see the whirrings in her yeah. head as you walked. She wanted to go through the door,
yeah.
But didn't want to go through the door. And it was, "Granddad, you go first." I said, "Are you sure?" And we stood outside for maybe 2 minutes, like talking about it and making sure she was all right. And we said, "Right, we'll both go in the door at the same time," which is exactly what we did. And I was watching her because, you know, however you put it, Kirsten was quite a sight at that time.
I'll bet.
Come
on, I keep coming over here.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologise.
Especially for you know, a 9-year-old.
Had she seen pictures before going in? Right, okay.
And that was about 10 minutes before that.
Right, okay.
And you saw her, she walked in, and the initial kind of, almost of an intake of breath.
Yeah.
And then you saw her click, "That's my mum." And then that's it. Nothing else mattered. And it was literally, you could literally see a click, couldn't you?
Sounds like it's that thing that we all do. The build-up is worse than the actual doing it. And you're right, you go, "Oh, no, it's mum. Yes. It's mum. Just looks a bit different, that's all."
And from that point on, she didn't see, there was nothing, you know, the scars or, you know, the bandages and...
I read in one of the paper stories that she was explaining to the cousins as well that that's just mum. Mum looks a bit different now, but
she's helping her cousins, like, because, you know, they're a bit younger and you know, people have a different temperament, you know, and a different personality. So some of the little ones are dealing with it better than others.
Yeah,
but Madison just gets stuck in and is. Bring them round.
I got some of the, now I don't know what these are because I got boys, so boys are into video games and farting.
Yeah.
Is this the right thing? I got two of these. Well, I had to ask my friend Catherine, my producer, who's got girls. I said, "Well, I don't know. What's these LOL, LOL things?" I've got those.
Behind you.
Are they
exactly the same question?
What is it? These.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, like, tiny plastic dolls.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Fine. I can understand.
Do you unlayer them. Every layer, there's a different thing. Oh. Every time you unwrap a layer, it's like parcel. You get one part of it, then another part, and then maybe shoes, and then the doll.
Everything is a mystery to me, girls. I say it's willies and farting in our house. that is it. That's all that goes on. The GoFundMe. We'll give that a plug as well, and I'll tweet all about that. Who set that up?
That was Donna.
Sister.
Your sister. Oh, I've had a couple of tweets from your sister as well. Donna has been in touch on Twitter. So What is the GoFundMe address? What do we have to type? look at everyone going, ah, we'll find it because I've got it somewhere. Yeah. We'll find it. And when you're listening to this, dear listener, we'll tweet it out and we'll put it on my Facebook page and everything. And the support on that's been incredible, isn't it? And that's last time I saw it, it was about 28,000. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was incredible. It was kind of like the GoFundMe went a little bit crazy for a day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sitting at like just over 2,000, I think. And then all of a sudden, like Shots it just up. started going up and up and up and up and up. And I just couldn't believe it. I just wasn't expecting
and
that at all.
There's been big donations.
She leans forward, Paul, to make me move. Yeah,
there's big donations and there's small donations. Yeah. And a lot of people that done a small donation were saying, I wish I could give more.
Yeah.
But what we appreciate and understand is that they've probably scraped together to be able to give that small donation just to give something. And that's as much appreciated as a big donation.
Yeah. It's also as well the fact that people care. People are thinking about you and going.
Because at first we said no, we don't want the GoFundMe. We said no for a while because people kept saying set something up, blah blah blah, or we'll set it up. And we were saying no, partly because we didn't think Kirsten was going to pull through because it was.
Was it that close?
Oh yeah, it was really close. It was mentioned end of life is imminent and a priest came and gave her a last rites. It was horrible. But she's here, she's pulled through, she's, like you say, an inspiration.
She is, isn't she?
But so after a while...
Come on, guys.
After a while, we agreed, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And like we explained to Kirsten, it gave everyone a chance to show because people feel, what can I do to help? You know, as a mum, I couldn't do anything either. I didn't know what I could do to help.
Yeah.
So I know how frustrating that was. So just the donations, sort of people had a chance to sort of say, we're thinking of you and we're here behind you. Mm. And that's that outpouring of love that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the way of showing it was lovely.
God, you must be so proud of her.
I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah. Oh, good.
Well done, Lynn. Well done. I don't want to upset you. I'm not here to upset you because the thing about this is it's a horrible story.
I'm not upset. It's just sometimes you go back to that.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And I'm sorry if I've taken you back there. It's a horrible story, but also it is a story of your determination to get on with it, you know. And we talk a lot on the show about mental health and stuff. And again, you know, you'd be well within your rights to go, sod this. I'm not having any of this. But one of the things I've got from talking to your dad and reading the bits in the papers and talking to you today is that you're determined. You know, you've got a job to do as Madison's mum, and nothing's going to get in the way of that.
No, nothing will ever get in the way of that.
Yeah.
It's like going back in my coma, I had quite a few dreams, I suppose. And then one of them was I was standing there and I got given an option and I could live or I could die.
Wow.
And first of all, I chose to die.
Yeah.
So it was like I was going down, I was falling and falling, and then I got given a second chance and it was, do you want to live or do you want to die? And within that second, Madison popped into my head and I was like, no, I'm going to live. And I come back up and I just carried on fighting my way through.
Mm.
I had my days. I did give the nurses and physios and stuff a bit of a run around.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think you're entitled to after what you've been through.
Yeah.
And there will be more days as well. There's going to be more days, of course. But you got so much love from your family and you're so determined. What do you hope your future's going to be? Or do you not think too far ahead?
No, I've not really thought too far ahead, really. But I just know from the experience, live every day to the max.
Mm.
You know, do anything that you want to do. Mm. It's like now I'm getting my dad to take me up in a helicopter.
Oh, God, no, why? What did you do that for?
I don't know. I just decided that I wanted to do it.
Do you want to do it, Paul?
I've got to do it. I haven't got many. But yeah,
I tell you what, because I went in a helicopter once and I got terribly motion sick. But I tell you what, I did last year. Went up in a hot air balloon.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'd love to do that. I went a bit nuts and I booked a trip to Morocco on my own because I'm getting divorced and stuff. And so I just thought I'm getting out of the country for a bit.
You know, they do fly jet airplanes to Morocco. You don't have to go.
No, I got a plane over there. Dear God. I got a plane over there, but I got a hot air balloon in the... Oh, it's incredible, Lynn. I didn't think I'd like it, but it's just so quiet. That's the thing. So quiet. You and me will do the hot air balloon. Yeah. These two can go in the helicopter.
I was going to do it years ago, but nobody would do it with me, and Paul's scared of heights. So,
well done, mate, and go up in a helicopter. Please.
So I decided to have a baby instead of Kirsten.
That's a choice. Yeah. So, honestly, do it. It's so peaceful.
Yeah, I think I'd love to.
And I don't like heights, but it was just... Oh, it was just amazing. It was amazing. Anyway, that's your mum sorted out. So sorted out. I've got nothing else to say, I don't think, Kirsten, apart from it's genuinely you're a hero for saving those kids early doors. And I hope you don't think this is patronising, but honestly, you're inspiring. You've inspired me. And I know your story has inspired and touched a lot of my listeners. I just wish you the best of luck. You've been dealt a really crappy set of cards, and I just wish you the best of luck, and hopefully you can get your dad to go on more stupid adventures with you. Really, really, if I was you, I'd milk this to the max.
Oh, I don't milk it at all.
Of course you don't. So nice to meet you, Kirsten. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.